The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
It's Thursday, May 2nd, 2024. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I am your host, Ricky Scapparo, the founder, the voice, and the pastor of End Time Headlines. We want to welcome everybody to the program tonight. We've got a great program lined up for you tonight. Tonight, we're going to talk about the ongoing protest across multiple campuses, universities across the nation. We're going to talk about some other events that I believe are harbingers and how all of this is tying together and is escalating and pushing us towards a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Now, before we get started and before we get into this program, I want to welcome all of our new viewers, new listeners, you guys that are watching or listening. YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, we welcome you. If you're new and you're able to comment, let us know in the comment section below that you are new and where you guys are joining us from. And guys, do me a favor real quick. It only takes a second. Hit that like button. Help us push out our material so others can catch our programs as well. And of course, hit that bell notification. Hit that subscribe button. You guys that are on Rumble and YouTube, that helps us out as well. And we want to let you know that we do have a free app. If you'd like to keep up with our ministry, know everything that we put out, everything that we report, every podcast, you can do that by going to your Apple store, your Android store. Get your app today. It's absolutely free. Download it. Hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be squared away, good to go, and you're going to be up to par with everything that we put out in real time. So tonight, I jotted down a lot of notes. I've got a lot of talking points that I want to talk about tonight. Listen, if you are a regular viewer of our program, our ministry, what I'm going to share with you tonight, you probably already know this. You are discerning of the times and seasons in which we're in, and you see things escalating. You see where it's heading. You know. That Bible prophecy is really unfolding before our eyes. But there's a lot of people out there, guys, people that we work with, people in our neighborhood, people in our family that has no clue. And this is why we want you to take content like this, and we want you to get it into their hands and share them so that they can take a Bible, they can open up to the scriptures, and we're gonna guide them in and show them how all of this is escalating and how all this is pushing us towards the fulfillment of what the prophets and the Bible has warned us about. Now, before we get into the deeper meat of this message, we're going to take you right into Ephesians chapter 6. This is an instruction that was given to the church of Ephesus by the apostle Paul, and this is relevant to all believers. And listen to what he says, "Finally, my brethren," and we're going to include you sisters as well, "be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God," and you do this through prayer, by the way, "and reading of the word, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now, that Greek word wiles, you can look up different translation. It means the schemes, the plots, the wiles, the assignments of the devil. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this age, spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand." So the Apostle Paul is telling us here that when we see things happening in the world, you see things happening like we're about to talk about, unfolding in the world, it's real easy to get into the flesh. It's real easy to get carnal about it. It's real easy to politicize it. It's real easy to be divisive about it and allow it to divide us, even as brothers and sisters. So that's why we've got to remember that anything, watch this, that divides, destroys. Let me say it like this, John 10:10, "For the thief cometh." Come on, somebody. "Not but to kill, steal, and destroy." That threefold cord of the wicked one, of the devil, is to kill, steal, and destroy. So any events wherein which the entire purpose of it is to kill, steal, and destroy, we know that this is not of God. It is not Holy Spirit inspired. It is inspired by the wicked one. So what you're seeing happening on live television, night after night, across the nation at these universities, this is inspired by Satan. It is all being, these are plots, plans, assignments, wiles of the devil. And Paul told the church of Ephesus, and he's telling us today, you better put on that armor. You better be armored up. You better be in the word. You better be in your prayer closet. You better be in intercessory prayer. You better have some discernment about you and know that things are not going to get better. All the false prophets and the false teachers are cradling thousands and hundreds of thousands of people asleep every weekend. Every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, they're cradling them to sleep with these lullaby sermonettes and feel good messages behind pulpits, and they're completely ignoring these events around the world. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to touch on it. They just want to bury it in the sand. They want to move on and talk about things that make people feel good. So And what that does is it leaves the body of Christ without the armor. It leaves them without properly being equipped and able to withstand. And I'm going to quote Paul here, in the evil day. How are you going to stand in the evil day, friend, if you're ignorant of what's going on around us? If you don't have a prayer life, if you don't have if you don't get into the word of God, you don't read the word of God, you are not going to be able to stand. You're going to be easily swayed, blown by every wind of doctrine, knocked off your feet. You're going to be taken out by the evil one. Now, having said that, I want to read a little bit of this. Violent clashes spread across the U.S. between protesters and riot police. Following the arrest of dozens of protesters at Columbia University in New York, similar demonstrations have transpired at the University of California in Los Angeles and has also spiraled into chaos. And again, these are anti-Israel protests. These are pro-Palestinians. Again, there's videos that have circulated where protesters are throwing pallets, striking each other. There's many that have been left bloodied. And because you've got pro-Israel on one side and pro-Palestine on the other, California Highway Patrol and Los Angeles Police Department officers lined up outside of the encampment, which had a large homemade barricade made with metal barriers and plywood to keep the two sides apart. And again, we all know that this is just escalating, and there's reports now that this has erupted across dozens of colleges and universities all across the nation. Protesters are being organized by paid professional agitators, and they're being funded by the same far-left sources that have been funded other radical protest movements in the past. Now, look, don't take my word for it, but let me just give you a warning right here. Let me show you this. This is from Newsweek. Quote, New York City officials warned of radicalization infiltrating the city amid ongoing pro-Palestinian protests at different college campuses, including Columbia University in Manhattan. During a press conference on Wednesday, the New York Police Department Deputy Commissioner of Intelligence and Counterterrorism, Rebecca Weiner, said that there is a, quote, concern around radicalization in the city. She went on and stopped short of calling it homegrown terrorism, but said officials were seeing a concerning trajectory among young people. Mayor Eric Adams made a similar comment during a recent press conference, in which he said, quote, there is a movement to radicalize young people, and I'm not going to wait until it's done and all of a sudden acknowledge the existence of it.
Now, I have been saying for days, if not weeks now, that which should have been a peaceful protest. It has basically been co-opted by professional outside agitators.
Now, this is coming from New York, guys. This is a, quote, global problem. I'm going to highlight that. This is a global problem that young people are being influenced by those who are professionals at radicalizing our children. And I'm not going to allow that to happen as the mayor of the city of New York. Mayor Eric Adams went on to say, quote, there were individuals on the campus who should have not been there. They were people who are professionals, and we saw evidence of training. Quote, what does he mean by that? They're paid agitators. They're paid by groups like Soros and different ones who are paying to bring these people in and to cause complete disruption, chaos, and absolute upheaval in these cities. Quote, I know that there are those who attempting to say, well, the majority of people may have been students. You don't have to be the majority to influence and co-op an operation. He called it an operation. This is what this is about. Quote, this is a global problem that young people are being influenced by those who are professionals at radicalizing our children. And again, he says, I'm not going to allow this to happen in the city of New York. There was also reports of another organization known as the People's Forum, which was also very heavily involved in the chaos that erupted at Columbia University. In fact, the Manhattan headquarters of the group appears to have been a primary base of operations for the protesters. Now, I want to show you something on your screen. If you're watching this by the visual, I am bringing up in front of you by doing a simple Google search, the flag of Palestine. I want you to remember this because this is going to play a really heavy role in this program tonight. This, what you see here is the flag of Palestine, and it is a tricolor of three equal horizontal stripes overlaid by a red triangle issuing from the hoist. This flag is derived from the Pan-Arab colors. The Pan-Arab colors, remember this, and is used to represent the state of Palestine and the Palestinian people. And again, I want you to remember this. Look at this flag. We'll bring it up in just a moment as well. You have these four primary colors in this flag. You have red, black, white, and green. Four, somebody say four colors, red, black, white, and green. And these colors don't represent just Palestine. They represent Arab nations. Now, why is that important? Why are we saying that? You're going to see in just a moment. Now, I want to shift gears and I want to tell you, remember the reason why I started out this program with Ephesians chapter 6 is to show you and to make it clear and abundant to you that we are dealing with demonic powers and spirits that are orchestrating and pulling the strings, who the puppet master obviously is, aka Lucifer, Satan. Again, they are pulling the strings of these operations. They're not funding it. You've got the people, the flesh and blood, who are funding it with money. But again, the ones pulling the strings are demonic powers influencing these operations. I want to talk about today, there is two major spirits. When I study the Bible, there is two major spirits that have to come to fruition. I'm talking about full manifestation in the last days to bring about the arrival of the Antichrist. Let me say that one more time. Two major spirits that will work together that will help usher in the revealing of the Antichrist are the Antichrist spirit and the mystery of lawlessness or mystery of iniquity. We would call this, and it serves no harm to this, the spirit of iniquity or spirit of lawlessness. So the two spirits, Antichrist spirit and the spirit of lawlessness or iniquity. Now, where can these be found, Brother Ricky? The reference to these are found in Paul's letter to the church of Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He tells you in this letter that the man of sin, that's the Antichrist, he's also known as the lawless one. He's also called the son of perdition. He will be revealed and he will set up his headquarters in the temple of God in Jerusalem in Israel. And he tells in his letter, he says here that In verse 7, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, meaning it was already in operation in Paul's day. Only he who now restrains will do so, or will restrain until he, whoever that is taken out of the way. Once its restrainer is removed, then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Again, the coming of the lawless one is with the working of Satan, all power, signs, lying wonders, and unrighteous deception. Now we know, again, theologically speaking, this man is called in Greek, ho antichristos, or the Antichrist, not a Antichrist, the Antichrist. Now, why am I saying that? Because your Bible, I'm going to pull up these scriptures here. This John coined the phrase Antichrist. And in 1 John, I'm going to read these. 1 John 2:18, 1 John 2:22, 1 John 4:3, and 2 John 1:7. All of these are referencing Antichrist singular, the Antichrist, or Antichrist plural, meaning those who would come and have the spirit of Antichrist upon them. Now look at this. 1 John 2:18, first reference. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, that the Antichrist is coming. That's 2 Thessalonians 2. That's Daniel 9:27. That is the Antichrist. Even now, many Antichrist, plural tense, have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Is there more than one Antichrist? No. When he says there's been many Antichrists that come, he's talking about these individuals that rise up and they have these attributes or these characteristics of the one who is coming. Example, you have people like Hitler. You have people like Stalin. You have Mao. You had Antiochus Epiphanes. You had Nero. All these men had one thing in common. You ready? They had the spirit of Antichrist upon them, but they were not the Antichrist. Y'all see that? All right, 1 John 2:22. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one? That's what that means. He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Stop. That means that not only will the coming Antichrist deny that Jesus is the anointed one, and he will deny that he is the Son of God, but any individual and their religion, this is very important that you hear me, any individual whose denomination, religion, affiliation, if they teach and believe that Jesus is not the Messiah, not the anointed one, not the Son of David, not the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he was not the Son of God. John says, the Bible says, 1 John 2:22, that they are Antichrist. They have a spirit of Antichrist on them. Why am I telling you this? Because I'm equipping you today so you can identify this, because I'm going to show you something that those four colors and all those nations that has those colors have in common, and John's telling us what they are. I have to be careful what I say here, so I need you to have ears to hear and eyes to see. Come on, 1 John 4:3. Look what he says. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is, in case you, well, Brother Ricky, I don't think there is a spirit of Antichrist. Well, you disagree with the Bible and what John says, because he says it right here. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Again, Paul is saying that the Antichrist spirit was already at work and operating in his day. But this spirit would later empower a flesh and blood man who would be handpicked by hell itself, by Satan, and be empowered by Satan. in the last days who would physically sit in a temple in Jerusalem in Israel. And he would spew blasphemous things. He would declare himself as God. He would make war against the Jews. Hello. And all I'm throwing all the puzzle pieces on the table. And I need you to work with me as we put this puzzle together today. And then finally, 2 John, let me pull this down here so you can see it. 2 John 1:7. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess that Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. Look what it says. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. They have an antichrist spirit about them. So listen, I want to emphasize something again. If you come across a group of individuals, a religious sect, organization, a people of this faith, of this religion, and they make the claim that God had no son, that Jesus was not the Son of God, that he was not the Messiah, then they have the spirit of Antichrist upon them. Okay? Now that's what John said. Then you go back to, you know, we know Luke 17, as it were in the days of Noah and Lot, so shall it be at the return of the Son of Man. When we go back to the book of Genesis in the days of Noah, it says that violence covered the earth, and that Hebrew word for the word violence is a word, and I don't want to say this word because I know the YouTube community flags content that uses this word, but the word, the name for violence in Hebrew is an Islamic faction that attacked Israel on October 7th, who, by the way, whose colors are all represented in what we're talking about here. Don't miss it. In the days of Noah, violence covered the earth. Is there a religion that has a radical sect to it that is known for violence? That is known, let me put it this way, is known for iniquity and lawlessness? I believe the answer is yes. If you have any sense about you and you understand things and you research things and you have eyes to see and ears to hear. So then the question arises, is there a particular religion or factions or groups out there that has both the spirit of Antichrist and the mystery of iniquity working together in their acts, in what they carry out, in what they promote? I believe the answer is yes again. All right, now we're going to switch gears, and we're kind of in the same flow here, but I'm going to show you. Let me throw some more puzzle pieces out on the table. Let me take you to John chapter 15. John 15, Jesus is speaking, watch this, you got to keep this in mind, guys. Jesus is speaking in John 15 to a predominant Jewish audience. The Bible was written to a predominant Jewish audience, okay? If the world hates you, John 15, 18, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember this, the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all of these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. So notice here, Jesus is saying here that the time would come when you would be hated by all for his name's sake. Now, isn't it interesting to me? I think it's interesting. If you go back all the way to the Garden of Eden, when the serpent, which and Satan speaking through the serpent, deceived Adam and Eve, they fell in the garden. Jesus told the serpent that he would be cursed all the days. On his belly he shall go and eat the dust of the ground. And he talks about the seed of the woman would trample him under his feet. Okay? Now, who is the seed of the woman? The woman is Israel. And you can go to Revelation chapter 12, and the seed of the woman, come on, it was Israel that birthed the Messiah. So it's no wonder when we get to Revelation 12 and Revelation 13, it tells us that the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring. This is the Jewish people in the tribulation. This is what this is talking about, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And then in Revelation 13, it says they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? So he's going to be making war upon, watch this, the Jewish people in the tribulation. So again, this is nothing new, guys. It's the spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of lawlessness, and it's resurfacing in the last days, because guys, it's going to go full circle. That which was is the thing that shall be, and there's no new thing under the sun. Just like we saw in times past, you're going to see a rise of another dictator, another man who will come to power, and he will have the spirit. He will not have just the spirit of Antichrist. He will be the Antichrist, and he will make war with the saints. Now look, I showed you John 15, right? Let me take you to John 16. No, again, it's interesting because John, you here in John 15, he says, remember, you're going to be hated by all men for my name's sake. A servant is not above its master. Then he goes to, and remember, when this was written, guys, when Jesus was speaking, it wasn't a book. It was written. We made it into, when it was translated, it was written into books and chapters to make it more legible and be able to understand this. But all in the same context, Jesus says, look at this. I'm going to pull this up. This is in John 16. He says, these things I've spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble. Listen what he warns them. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever will think that he offers God's service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. They don't know the Father and they don't know me, but these things I've told you that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you. Now remember, if you're paying attention, I said, spirit of Antichrist, I gave you all the definitions according to the Bible, what John described as the attributes, the characteristics of the Antichrist spirit, what it will do, what it will deny, what it will say. And I propose this question, is there a particular religion that fits that bill that we see manifest that are hostile towards a group of individuals that even the Bible talks about would be hated in the last days, and the time would come when they would be thrown out of their place of worship. They would be hated by all men. They would even and say that they are doing God's service. The answer is yes, friend, if you're paying attention. So all of this stuff doesn't surprise me because it's prophecy. Now I'm going to show you, it's going to get deeper now. Now we're going to go into the second part of this. I'm going to pull all this together. I saw a story that came out and I thought this was phenomenal because I believe it was a harbinger I kind of held on to it for a while. We didn't even report it on our main website. But then when I saw some, I saw further information come out, I said, okay, now there may be something to this. So I'm going to pull this out here. This happened in central London where, and by the way, this took place recently. There was four horses. Somebody say four horses. Two of four horses that broke free. So there was four horses that broke free in central London. Not five, not three, not 12, four. Interesting. And two of the horses that broke free were injured. And it just so happens that the two that broke free right here on your screen was the white horse and a black horse. And the white horse had blood going down into its legs. And again, they were the white horse and the black horse was running down the streets of London. Here's some pictures. Just look at this. These people are freaking out. Horses are running. Here's another picture. Again, white horse and black horse, but there was four horses that, again, broke out. And by the way, these were called military horses. Why is this interesting to me? I'm going to show you why it's interesting. Because in Revelation chapter 6, your Bible says that there is coming not two, not six, four horsemen that we call the four horsemen of the apocalypse. These four horses will be released in the beginning of the tribulation. We are not in the tribulation, folks. But the question has to be proposed today. Are we on the precipice of the horsemen of the apocalypse being loosed upon the earth? Now, again, this gets so bizarre, guys. Consequently, there are four horses and they are, here it is, and they are in this order. The white horse, the red horse, the black horse, and a pale horse. But in Greek, the word pale is chloros, and it's where we get green. So the proper interpretation of that is actually black, white, red, and green. Wait a minute. Oh, that's right. That's the same four colors found on the Palestinian flag, but not just the Palestinian flag, my friend. It is found on multiple Arab nations. Afghanistan, Iraq, Jordan, Kuwait, Libya, Sudan, Syria, all of these have these four colors. And by the way, almost every one of these countries are involved in future prophetic wars, howbeit Psalm chapter 83, Isaiah chapter 17, and the war of Gog Magog, Ezekiel 38, 39, which, by the way, all, with the exception of Isaiah 17, which deals with Damascus, Syria, Psalm 83, Ezekiel 38, 39, deal with a coalition of the nations who all predominantly have those four colors, who will form a confederacy and come against the nation of Israel. What do you know? So you have this. So there was a white horse and a black horse seen running through the streets of London. Guys, the white horse in Revelation chapter 6. Here's what John said, Revelation 6, 1 through 2. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a loud voice like a loud thunder, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat upon it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. I want to point out something here. This white horse rider is not to be confused with the Messiah, because he does not come till Revelation 19, but he does come on a white horse. Christ is always symbolized of carrying a sword, not a bow. The Antichrist, listen to me, almost all scholars agree with this. This white horse rider that has a bow with no arrows is the coming Antichrist. And it notes about him that he's going forth conquering to conquer. Daniel 8:25 says this, quote, though or through his cunning, he shall cause deceit to prosper under his rule, and he shall exalt himself in his heart, and he shall destroy many in their prosperity. He shall even rise against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken with human means. Okay, again, that's Daniel 8:25. And then in Daniel 9:27, Daniel says that this Antichrist will confirm, meaning that there will already be a treaty in place, but this Antichrist will come along and confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. That is a diplomacy of peace. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abominations shall be the one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. Stop. Here's what he's saying. The white horse and rider who comes, Revelation 6, at the beginning of the tribulation, is the Antichrist who will come on the scene as a peacemaker. He will bring a diplomacy of peace. He will confirm a peace treaty with the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, and the nations around them. Meaning that everything we're seeing right now, friend, is going to escalate even further. I'll touch on more about that in more detail. It's going to grow and increase in intensity to the point where all nations, all politicians, including your favorite one, will come against the nation of Israel and Jerusalem, because it has to fulfill prophecy. And wars are going to break out. It's going to get so bad that the world, the United Nations, will demand a peace treaty. And your man, the Antichrist, is going to be the man of the hour. Remember, it says he will cause deceit to prosper. And he's going to destroy people through prosperity. Everything is great, Brother Ricky. This guy can't be the Antichrist. Look what he's done. Look what he's done for our economy. Look what he's done for peace with the nations of the world. He's caused these nations to drop their arms. He's caused them to lower their weapons. He's the greatest thing that's come along. But it says that he will come on, destroy many with their prosperity. Why? Because Daniel 9:27 says that for 42 months or 3.5 years, the world's going to be celebrating this guy, and they're going to be worshiping this guy and eating out of his hand. And then he's going to, when the timing is right, he's going to turn. He's going to turn against Israel, turn against the Jewish people, and he's going to set up his headquarters. He's going to make known his true identity. Hello, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Bible says that he will start out small. He will come out with a small army and become great. He will uproot Egypt, Libya, and Ethiopia. It says he goes forth conquering to conquer. 10 nations. Surrender their power over to him in 1 hour's time, according to John the Revelator. So isn't it interesting that here is a white horse, one of four, running across, and it has blood all over it, because he comes forth conquering to conquer, but he's coming in peace. No, no, no. Don't be deceived. I think this is very interesting. But then there's a black horse. A black horse was seen running along the white horse. Revelation 6, 5 and 6. And when he opened the third seal, I heard the living creature say, come and see. And I looked and behold, a black horse. And he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and wine. Friend, listen to me. The black horse and rider represent famine. This famine will come as a direct result of all the wars and the rise of the Antichrist. Because remember, the white horse comes out the gate and then the red horse of war follows him. And through this, it's going to produce famine in the earth. When this thing gets hot and heavy, it's going to produce scarcity of food, of talk about all kinds of food, wheat, barley, all of this stuff. Look what, just think about everything that went on with Russia and Ukraine. There was a lot of food supply chain shortages because Ukraine is a major wheat supplier. And this all, when that war began, it caused major disruptions in the food supply chain. But we have not seen anything like what's coming when this takes place in the tribulation, because John said that a cost of a loaf of bread is going to cost an entire day's wages. Think about inflation now. I saw all these articles this week where they're talking about the price of fast food is getting out of hand. People can't even go out to eat, going out to eat in restaurants. The food is getting completely out of hand. You're seeing inflation. It's not going down. It's going up. It's going up. People can't afford to buy houses. People can't. There was a new survey saying one out of four people they fear they're going to lose their job by the end of this year. Again, this is nothing paired. This is pale in comparison to what's going to happen, what the world's going to look like when the black horse and its rider run. Come on. And guys, I want to say this. These are spirits. This is not literal black horse and a literal white horse and a literal red horse and a literal green horse. No, these are spirits that go through the earth, and they will inspire these things to take place. These are demonic powers and spirits. And I want to say this. I'm not implying today that what we saw in Britain means that these horses have been released. No, we're not in the tribulation. What I'm saying to you is, remember, if you pay attention to our ministry, I always tell you, harbingers are warnings that come before. They precede, come on, the event. These are the road markers. These are the warnings saying to you, watch out, look out, pay attention. I believe that's what's going on here. Now look at this. Farmers warn food aisles will soon be empty because of crushing conditions. Quote, we're not in a good position. Now, where is this information coming out of? Look at this. The United Kingdom. Same location that those four horsemen made national news, made world news, global news. And one of them was a black horse, which represents famine. And look at this article. Farmers warn that food aisles will soon be empty because of crushing conditions. The United Kingdom is facing dire food shortages, forcing prices to skyrocket, and experts predict this is only the beginning. Are you paying attention yet? According to a report by The Guardian, extreme weather is wreaking havoc on crops across the region. England experienced more rainfall during the past 18 months than it has over any 18-month period since record-keeping began in 1836. Because the rain has not stopped, many farmers have been unable to get crops such as potatoes, carrots, and wheat into the ground. Usually you get rain, but there will be pockets of dry weather for 2 or 3 weeks at a time to do the planting. That simply has not happened. This is according to a farmer who told The Guardian. Farmers have also planted fewer potatoes, opting for less weather-dependent and financially secure crops. At the same time, many of the potatoes that have been planted are rotting in the ground. Quote, there is a concern that we will never have the volumes of potatoes that we had in the past in the future. Wow, what a statement. This is according to the British Growers Association CEO Jack Ward, who told The Guardian that we are not in a good position and it's 100% not sustainable. Now look at this. English farmers are not alone. People are struggling to grow crops worldwide because of extreme weather. So again, we cannot be dogmatic of what's going to cause famine. I said the Antichrist is going through, in Revelation 6, the Antichrist is released, the wars begin. We can assume that that's going to be a heavy causation of famine. But again, we don't think about these other things. Extreme weather. How about weather modification? Hello? We talked about that in one of our podcasts. We did a whole segment on that and how this cloud seeding could spell disaster in the days ahead and in the future for these weather calamities and extreme weather causing these situations. All right, we're closing in on ending this program tonight. And I want to do a quick recap. Again, I want to emphasize something. I see two spirits that are really, really amping up. The spirit of Antichrist and the spirit of lawlessness. And again, you can find both of these referenced in the writings of John. You can find this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And all of this, guys, is paving the way and preparing the way for the Antichrist to come on the scene. Now, something else that I want you to pay attention to, and you've heard me say this over and over again, you cannot let your emotions get the best of you. You're going to see people that you would have never believed turn against Israel. You're going to see politicians that you would say, no, there's no way they'll ever turn their back on Israel. Friends, listen, why do I say such a claim? Because when I go to Zechariah chapter 12, the prophet said, Zechariah said, the Lord says this through Zechariah, behold, I will make Jerusalem. This is Zechariah 12, 2. Jerusalem in the last days, guys, they will become a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples. That's the nations of the world. When they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem, it's not a matter of if they will. And you've heard me say this. Joel 3 tells you they will. It says in Joel 3, 2, the Lord's going to gather those nations, bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. Why? Because he's going to judge them there. This is where the war of Armageddon is going to take place, the final war. They're going to be judged there, and they will enter into judgment there because, look what he says here, on account of Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations, and they've divided the land. Now, I keep telling you all this. Here's why. Because I'm telling you, in the coming months ahead, you better be paying attention to this. You better know the word of God because you're going to get some people get so politicized and they get drunk on politics and they begin to lose their, they get completely away from the word of God and they get caught up in a particular party or a particular nominee or whatever the case is, a presidential nominee. Listen to this. Again, Jerusalem will become a cup of drunkenness to the people. They're going to lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day. I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples, and all who heave it away will be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. So you should not be surprised when you see a headline like this. Quote, Trump says Netanyahu has rightfully been criticized for his October 7th failure. Now be prepared because some of y'all is going to get off. Some people are so Trump drunk. Listen, I'm not bashing Trump. I'm just saying, but he is not God. People put him on a pedestal and they put him, it's like God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and they put Trump right up there by the throne room of God. This preacher don't do that. I don't do that with any politicians. In fact, you've heard me say this. I can't stand politics. I detest politics. That's why I don't like talking about politics. I want to stick to the gospel, not politics. Okay. So, but I want to read this because this is prophecy. This doesn't surprise me. In a wide-ranging interview, former U.S. president and current Republican contender Donald Trump expressed pointed criticism for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and for Israel's war leadership while pledging to protect Israel if reelected in November. Stop. So he's criticizing Netanyahu and his leadership, but he pledges he will protect Israel. Okay, October 7th happened on his watch, Trump told Time magazine of Netanyahu, adding that Prime Minister has, quote, rightfully been criticized for failing to prevent the massive attack by, again, a certain faction. We know who that is. You can see that on the screen. Quote, they have the most sophisticated equipment, Trump said of Israel. They had everything was there to stop that. And a lot of people knew about it. You know, thousands and thousands of people knew about it. But Israel didn't know about it. And I think he's been blamed for that, very strongly being blamed. Yeah, kind of like the United States back in 2000, 1999, 1998, when there was massive intelligence saying that there was coming an attack that would eventually come to fruition on September 11, 2001. Yeah, kind of like that, right? Trump said the attack should have never happened. The former U.S. president has been critical of Israel and Netanyahu since he left office. Let me read that again. The former U.S. president has been critical of Israel and Netanyahu since he left office, including in the aftermath of the massacre. At an October rally, Trump held a certain faction terror group as very smart while branding defense minister of Israel a jerk. He also told the crowd in Florida that Netanyahu had let us down before the U.S. killed a top Iranian general. The comments drew widespread condemnation from the White House as well as Trump's GOP rivals, and he ended up walking them back. I bet he did. While Trump and Netanyahu worked together closely during the former's presidency, Trump responded with fury after Prime Minister congratulated then-President-elect Biden for winning the 2020 U.S. election while Trump was still trying to overturn the results. In interviews for a book about his Middle East peace efforts, Trump, according to its author, used an explicative to describe the embattled prime minister. Blank him, he reportedly said, and accused Netanyahu of disloyalty. Wow. See, y'all think it's just all Biden that's saying this stuff. No. Even former U.S. president and the GOP nominee, President Trump is even in on this. But what am I talking about? I'm talking about we cannot be surprised by these things. We cannot be moved by these things. We cannot be swayed by these things. When you put all this together, friends, I believe the Lord is sounding the alarm. And the watchmen are blaring, they're blasting the trumpet, saying, look, pay attention. All the signs are revealing itself. They're showing us that we are on the precipice of the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. And I leave you with Luke 21:28, Jesus said, when you begin to see all of these things coming to pass, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. Now, friends, we're going to pray in just a moment because I felt led when I was putting this together that if you're listening, you're watching, and you have kids, you have sons and daughters on campuses around the nation and universities, we want to pray for their protection. Because even though we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, we want to pray protection over them. Come on. And maybe you're watching, you don't have kids in universities, and maybe you've got grandkids, or maybe you don't, but you know people that do. Come on, we're all going to join together and pray. Before we do that, again, please do me a favor, hit the like button, hit that share button, hit that bell notification, hit that subscribe button. It's going to help us out, guys. Download our free app. That's going to help you out. It's going to keep you informed. Don't rely on social media. Download it today. Apple, Android, it's free. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be good to go. Listen, if this ministry blesses you, it equips you, it informs you, all of the above, week after week, I want you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. Again, You can give electronically through the app or through the main website right there on your screen, or you can give simply by making a check or money order out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. Now, why did I put all that together? Because I showed you. I believe that the spirit that is going to usher in the Antichrist in the last days, the religion of the Antichrist, all of that is being shown to us. It's being revealed to us. He who has discernment, has ears to hear and eyes to see, is going to know this. They're going to pick up on this. They're going to put the puzzle pieces together today. That's why I put them out there, is for you to do your own homework and your investigative research. And you're going to put this together through the lens of the scriptures, and you're going to see the big picture of everything that's going on. But guys, we've got to pray. I believe there's lives in danger in these universities. So will you join me real quick as we pray for these men and women on these universities, these young men and women on these universities? Come on, let's pray right now. Father in heaven, we come to you, Lord God, and we lift up every man and woman that is on these campuses across the nation. Lord, if they're in danger, if their lives are in danger, if they're in proximity to where these protests are taking place and their lives are being threatened, Father, we ask that you would place a hedge of protection about them, that, Lord, we profess the blood of Jesus around them, over them, Lord, about them in Jesus' name. Father, we lift them up. Come on, if you have sons and daughters or grandsons or granddaughters or neighbors or whoever, if you know them by name, lift their names up before heaven right now. Call them out. Say, Lord, I pray for so-and-so. I pray for this person. I pray for that person. And I ask that, Lord, you'd protect them and keep them, Lord, from harm's danger. I pray that you keep them out of the line of fire. Keep them out of the line of violence. Keep them out of any area that would put their lives at risk. If they're able to stay home and do virtual, let them do that. But Lord, I pray that you would give them a quickening, that you, Lord God, would protect them and keep them and in the manners of so. Lord, may your angels, Lord, be with them and protect them, Lord, and they're coming in and they're going out forevermore in Jesus' name. Father, I bind every assignment and wiles of the enemy that would try to bring harm against these young men and women, especially if they are Jews. Protect them, God. Keep them safe. And we pray this tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Guys, thank you so much for taking the time to join us tonight. We're going to sign off for tonight. We'll be right back here Friday, May 3rd, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Lord willing, same time, same place, same channel, with another great program. So until then, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.